Yeah, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Bay LA Podcast, your home for everything Lakers, Warriors, and news from around the association. I'm your Lakers guy, Austin Sexton, with my Bay Area boys, Casey and Brock. How we doing today?
Not Brock.
So it's Roman in the house.
Oh my God, bro! I think I said B and B, Brock Bay. Sorry about that. Brock's over here anyway. Roman, what's up, bro? Casey, what's going on? Sorry about that.
What's up?
We miss you, Brock.
Yeah, come back soon.
Yeah, we do. We do miss you, buddy. Just another day in NBA basketball and NBA Cup games and major implications tonight. We've got the Warriors going up against the Grizzlies and the Lakers going up against the San Antonio Spurs. Wemby, and I don't know if Jaw is playing tonight for you guys. I would assume he's not. But regardless, we got some good games coming up. Before we dive into it, make sure to like, subscribe, follow, leave comments, do all those things that you're supposed to do when subscribing to our podcast. We are the Bay LA Podcast. And we're just guys that like to talk hoops. And we don't want to keep doing this for a while. So like, subscribe, do all those things. Oh my God. Oh my God.
We got another car nasty scream.
I wasn't wrong. See, Brock wasn't here for a second. Brock,
like a cool summer breeze as soon as he was pump here. Fake.
That was absolutely crazy. Well, maybe we get Brock here in a little bit, maybe not. But diving right into it, we're going to start off with some Lakers stuff. The Lakers at 7-4 tonight are taking on the Spurs, 6-6 in San Antonio. Game's going to start off at about an hour from now, Pacific Standard Time, NBA Cup game. It's our first one. And unfortunately, on top of that, Rui Hachimura was just downgraded, 2 out, with an ankle sprain. A little bit unfortunate, but, you know, with Christian Wood out, with Vando out, with Jackson Hayes out, and now with Rui out, we kind of just got to do whatever we can do to get by. What are you guys anticipating for the game tonight?
Rui being out, that's a big loss for the Lakers just because they're already, like, down a lot of bodies, especially, like, big bodies. So I don't know, is he elevated to, like, the active roster right now?
Yeah, so Christian Koloko has been getting minutes just because Jackson Hayes has gone down with his ankle sprain. Everybody's got a freaking ankle sprain right now, man. I don't know what's going on. Jackson Hayes, now Rui. Braun was dealing with that as an issue. AD's got plantar fasciitis on the left heel. It's like everybody in their feet. It's issue after issue. And yeah, it's tough, man, because Rui Hachimura, a 6'8 big body who's been utilizing it well, had a great comeback game last game to help lead the Lakers with the third most points on the team. But unfortunately, he goes down, and you immediately just see how thin the roster is, and it's kind of tough.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough stretch right now for the Lakers, even though they do seem to they're still getting wins. But yeah, every injury, it's like it's somebody new, and it's Rui Hachimura, who's been a solid rotational player for the Lakers.
Yeah, man. So what it's looking like, at least in my. I'm just guessing. I'm not JJ Redick. I mean, if it was Steve Kerr as our coach, then I'm sure there'd be a crazy old lineup change. But for us, I'm assuming that we're probably going to turn to the Rook, Dalton Connect, who will probably go in for JJ Redick tonight, another big body who can light it up. And he's been playing great lately. He helped elevate us to the win against Memphis, which has brought us to where we're currently at 7-4. And we're hoping to make it 5 in a row tonight and get to 8-4. So we will see what happens. But Roman, who you think's taking on Wemby for the Lakers tonight? I mean, we know the obvious answer, but do you think there's any rotational changes or any moves that could be made to try to help take on the second year alien?
I don't know, man. He just dropped 50 the other night, so yeah. he might it's be feeling himself. Yeah, that was incredible to watch. But yeah, I mean, I think there's just going to be a lot of AD just to kind of match up a little bit of that size. I mean, maybe LeBron too. Who's to say? Wemby, he's him and Devin Vassell coming back for the Spurs too. That was super helpful. But yeah, I think we're just going to see a lot of whoever the Lakers have left to just throw at him and try and slow him down because, Wemby's a little, he's heating up, I think, right now. He might be coming onto a hot stretch for the Spurs because, they're up to the ninth seed right now.
Yeah, man, and slowly creeping up for sure. So I'm thinking that their starters tonight are probably going to be Chris Paul, Devin Vassell, I think Champagne. I think that's how you pronounce the last name. Julian Champagne, Harrison Barnes, your guy's old friend, And then, of course, Victor Wembanyama. His name's so foreign and alien, I can barely say it. So, yeah, and inserting Dalton Connect into that lineup, yes, it's going to give you the shooting. The defense is going to he's a body. He's not a cone, but he's not amazing, but he'll be able to provide a little bit of support. My thoughts are probably it's going to be Cam Reddish with the assignment probably on – I don't know if it's going to go to – Vassell, or if it's going to go to Harrison Barnes, who would be the better scorer out of those two?
I would say
Vassell personally.
Yeah, but Harrison Barnes has been having a good season so far.
He goes on these little heater tangents where he goes for like 20, goes for 25, and that'll be cool for a little bit.
You have to respect his ability.
Oh yeah, you guys know it all too well.
Aside from that 2016 NBA Finals, he was a good player for the Warriors.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
This is very true. So I guess just based off of the only rotational players that we have right now in our starting lineup, probably going to be Anthony Davis on Victor Wembanyama. I'm going to assume based off of what you guys are saying, we're going to put LeBron on Harrison Barnes, which is going to be meaning Cam Reddish is going to be on Devin Vassell, which means Austin Reeves on Champagne, and then Chris Paul, Dalton Connect. What do you think?
I think that's a tough guard for the rookie. Yeah.
I mean,
Chris Paul, he's a savvy vet, and he's like probably the savviest of vets.
Oh yeah. The floor general.
He knows every trick in the book. So
this is true.
This could be a good test for Dalton it's like you're playing against one of the greats to do it. Like Chris Paul probably go down as one of like the greatest point guards when it's all said and done.
Yeah. And don't forget on the Spurs bench, they've got Keldon Johnson and Zach Collins. And Zach Collins is sneaky, dude. Like he's a solid rotational player.
Yeah.
I don't know who else they have on their bench. I'll have to take a look at their depth chart. Stephen Castle, Malachi Branham, and Trey Jones.
Castle's an interesting rookie. And Jeremy Stoshan, is he hurt or is he playing?
I'm not seeing. It looks like he's out. Stoshan's still out because typically he's a starter for them. That's correct. Why I didn't. Yeah.
Yeah, he is still out.
I really like him as a player too. By the way, they're trying to figure out what role he's playing, but he tries really hard in everything that he does. I really like him as a player, and I love the Dennis Rodman hair too. Always that's dope. Yeah,
definitely got the inspo.
Yeah,
wearing his old number too with the Spurs.
Yeah, you got to love it. You got to love it. He's embracing and taking on the role. So my issues for tonight would be number one, and this is an issue that has been lingering with the Lakers all season, and it's something if I bring up now, I'm sure that anybody who's watching this as a Laker fan can understand why my frustrations are high, but Cardio Gabe, Vincent, is not producing anything. Every now and then you see some flashes of defense, but with him, and then Max not living up to his contract at all right now. And Christian Coloco, does this mean that we see possibly a Quincy Oliveri tonight? Because Bronny James sure as hell isn't getting in the game unless everybody else goes down. So at this point, we're down to Quincy Oliveri, who I actually would like to see him get rotational minutes because of how hard he tries. Yeah,
me too. And he's been killing it in the G League from what I've been seeing.
26 points.
Oh, my hot take is he could take D'Angelo Russell's job potentially.
Ooh, that is a hot take. Damn. I like that. Yeah. I mean, it's so weird. I'm not used to not talking about D'Angelo Russell as a starter. It's so weird to like hear his name. Like, wow, I completely forgot to talk about him coming off of the bench. They're going to need his scoring clip.
They're
going to need his scoring clip.
It's definitely going to be an all hands on deck game for the Lakers. And even though the Spurs are the 9 seed, they are improving with every game. And I think that team is pretty underrated.
Oh yeah, I completely agree. Completely agree, man. So I'm excited. The game's in about an hour. We just wanted to talk about it quick. I'm shooting for the Lakers to get their fifth in a row tonight. After the last game, I know we were going to talk about our predictions after 10 and everything. We haven't got a chance to do it, but I just want to make a note that I called for the Warriors game against Dallas to be 118-120, and it was 117-120. So tonight I'm going to go ahead and call Lakers win in San Antonio. It's going to be 116-111 Lakers. You heard it here first.
I'm putting everything my bank account on that.
All right, please do, because I'm not missing apparently.
You could use promo code BALA for $7,000 in free bets.
In free cash.
And free cash. I absolutely love it. And then lastly, on the Lakers, before we tap into the to the Warrior stuff, I know we kind of talked about it for a quick second, Christian Wood and Jared Vanderbilt. There's no official update on Vando. We know that he is still ramping up. He is doing on-court activities, and I believe he has been upgraded to 3-on-3 stuff. Christian Wood had a setback in his knee where he's feeling soreness, and it's looking like it's going to be about, as of the last update, probably three and a half weeks from now till he is reevaluated. Damn, man. Come on, Christian. You know I'm pulling for you, buddy. We root for you over here on this show. I need to see you prove it, bro.
It's crazy because, like, I think with those two guys healthy, this Lakers team is totally different.
Completely different team, man. Yeah. Completely different team.
If they can just kind of, I don't know what the correct term would be, but, you know, don't crash into the iceberg.
Yeah, just weather the storm.
Weather the storm. Thank you. Weather the storm. And
avoid the iceberg.
Get those two guys back. You dodge that iceberg. And then
I completely agree. If we look at the Lakers currently sitting at the sixth seed, by the way,
right,
let's get this win tonight. Our next couple definitely winnable games. So we've got San Antonio tonight, Pelicans who are hurt, the Jazz who are not as good as they should be, and the Magic who are that's a pick'em game. I think I could see the Lakers doing
sneaky good.
Is Ben Farrow going to be healthy for that game? Is he still out?
I think he's still out.
Well, that game is about 8 days away, so we'll see what a week of rehab or 8 days of rehab can do for us. And then after that, the 23rd, huge game against our foes, the Nuggets. So,
And then you got the Suns after that. Those are going to be two tough games.
Yeah, I will be at that Sun game too. I'm excited.
Ooh, nice.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah, I'm super juiced for that.
But I think going up until Christmas Day, like, there's a lot of winnable games on the schedule for the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, all you can do is just win the games in front of you. You know, like, injuries, availability is your best ability. And right now, our ability isn't great, but we're somehow weathering the storm. So here's to the Lakers keeping it up and trying to figure out a way to get the win tonight against a up and coming San Antonio Spurs team. Well, let's get to the Warrior stuff, guys. You guys are just absolutely hot right now, man. 9-2 right now, hosting the 7-5 Grizzlies. We just saw them. 7 o'clock NBA Cup game. Let's talk about it. What are your guys' takeaways for the game tonight?
No Ja Morant.
Yeah, that's always the big key that you have to look at first is no Ja tonight. I mean, Warriors are missing Melton, but who knows what the starting five was going to be like tonight.
Roll the dice, Kerr.
You never know. But yeah, I mean, the Grizzlies are just going to be down Ja. That's massive for them, just that type of scoring. Warriors have just been on fire. A lot of people online are saying that there's a likelihood for this being a trap game for the Warriors. I don't necessarily agree. But
I feel like if any game was going to be a trap game for the Warriors, it would be the game they had just played against the Mavericks. Like, I feel like usually it's that first game home after a road trip is the trap game.
Okay.
But I mean, who knows? I mean, it's the NBA. Like, anyone could be anyone at any given night, sports. But yeah, D'Anthony Melton being out, I think that's a huge loss for them, not just for this game at hand, but just moving forward.
I mean, we already know what that means. Let's just do it. Our guy's got to step up.
I mean, yeah, it's likely that he's going to fill that starting two guard role. Either going to be him or Buddy, but I would probably say Moody first, because I think there's a lot of positives to look at with the Podziemski and Buddy Hield combo guard lineup that they field.
Yeah.
I think that's something that they're leaning into a little bit more and finding a little bit more consistency in.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're likely to see Moody at least start, which is something that he's done really well. I was just kind of filling in with various injuries.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And I think I like Pods and Buddy Hield playing together, coming off the bench. Also, we got Kuminga coming off the bench as well. I think that second unit just has like an offensive spark.
Yeah, that, leading the league in points or bench.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if there are games where you see, maybe it's already happened this season, but like you see the bench outperform the starting lineup.
Yeah.
Like offensively, that, you know. But yeah, man, it should be an interesting game. I'm a predict a Warriors win just because, you know, they're hot right now. The Grizzlies are without their superstar and Ja Morant.
Well, I guess my question to you would be, not saying that I disagree with it, because I think that you guys have a good chance to win this game with the injuries. Who's your Triple J stopper?
Probably Draymond.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, I mean, Draymond probably. Kyle Anderson, maybe.
Yeah. He missed the last game with, he was a late scratch. I believe he was having neck spasms.
Yeah.
But yeah.
As far as I know, unless something.
Yeah, I don't think he was ruled out for tonight thus far.
Yeah, I haven't seen an injury report aside from Melton being out with an ACL sprain, which that was announced, I think, yesterday or after the Mavericks game. But
yeah.
But yeah.
Gotcha.
I'm also hoping for a bit of a step up from Pods overall, because the past couple games he's kind of just struggled overall with, I mean, a couple turnovers, not really finding the offensive kind of spark that he could bring to certain lineups. But I mean, that might be him just being more of just trying to distribute and create for other people and in various ways, just with the other players that he's kind of playing with in that second unit being Kuminga, Heald, and yeah, Moody at times. I think it's just kind of him facilitating for them a little bit more, which he might see more of potential to get his offensive game going tonight.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man. Well, I'm excited to see, I'm really, really, really excited to watch that game. Just good, two good basketball games back to back. One person that I actually think has been stepping up for the Grizzlies, just because I only know this because I've been watching them play, because the Lakers just played them pretty close in consecutive games. Scottie Pippen Jr. has been playing really, really well for them. Oh, as well as, Scottie Pippen Jr. has been playing super well. Jaren Jackson going crazy. Is Desmond Bane active for tonight?
I didn't see that he was inactive. We can double check really fast.
If I was a betting man, I'd say that he's probably not playing tonight because he hasn't played for a few.
He's out with an oblique injury.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So. Yeah, man. That's, it's a winnable game. Them at full strength, man. Like, they're a good team. They're like, they could be a top five.
I believe in my way too early power rankings, I had them like avoiding the play-in tournament. Yeah, and they're definitely like a top six seed.
Yeah.
And now that
it's the freaking West, man. Like,
dude. Yeah. Any few injuries, man. Like, I mean, look at the Lakers with their injuries. If they were fully healthy, completely different team.
Different team.
Any little slip up from any of these rosters, like these injuries that have been piling up for teams, it's just, you just tumble down the rankings so fast. It's brutal.
One game, you're dropping like three, which is out of control. Hate it, but it is what it is currently. I'm trying to go through and I'm trying to find our original predictions. Oh, here we go. I found it.
Ooh.
Uh-oh. Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
Here we go. So obviously, like, this was our way too soon predictions.
Yeah.
And we are 11, 12 games in, depending on how many games you've played so far. Casey, your picks were OKC at 1, the Wolves at 2, the Nuggets at 3, Grizzlies at 4. Ooh, wait, no. It's the Mavs at 4. You made the adjustment.
Still Grizzlies not good.
Grizzlies at 5, the Suns at 6, Kings at 7, Pelicans at 8, and then Golden State Warriors 9-10 with the Lakers. So, Roman.
Uh-oh.
OKC at 1, Mavericks at 2, Spurs at 3, which it's a healthy prediction. They've still got time. I like where you're going with it. The Grizzlies at 4. I think we were all really optimistic about that, but we didn't know about the injuries. The Nuggets at 5, Timberwolves at 6, Rockets at 7. That's a good call. The Rockets are sneaky.
They're good.
They're sneaky good this year. The Kings at 8, Warriors at 9, and Lakers at 10. Hmm. So for me, I had OKC at 1, the Nuggets at 2, the Timberwolves at 3, the Mavs at 4, the Suns at 5, Kings at 6, Grizzlies at 7, Lakers at 8, Warriors at 9, Pelicans at 10. So Casey, it is notable to say here that your dark horse team was the Rockets.
Yeah, I mean, I had a Sengun on my fantasy basketball team last season.
Yeah.
And just watching him like blow up the stat sheet like every night until he got hurt, I was like, wow, like this guy's for real. And then you watch the team play and it's like they were a young team last season. They're still a young team now, but
yeah,
they look like they took that next step that you want to see a young team take.
Yeah. Also coached by Ime Udoka, who is a complete psychopath. So, who is more of a psychopath? Is it Ime Udoka or is it the Celtics coach, Joe Mazzulla?
Ooh. I feel like there are two different kinds of psycho.
Well, one's Patrick Bateman and the other one's just Dexter Morgan.
Yes.
I mean, that's a pretty fair comparison there.
That's actually really good.
Yeah, man, I don't know.
Who is who? It doesn't matter.
It's two sides of the same coin, right?
This is true. Okay. I think I would take Ime Udoka only because we know a little bit more about his personal life. So I'm gonna take Ime. But now who is more crazy? Ime Udoka or Mark Jackson as a coach?
I mean, there's been some crazy Mark Jackson stories.
Yeah, that's another tough one.
I don't know the you know how valid those stories are. It's the internet, but the things I've read are pretty insane. He also, you know, what's the right word? Was he the founder of the Splash Brothers or like that Big Three Warriors as we know it?
The true architect.
Yes, like he gave Draymond those minutes, and he believed in that core.
Yeah. Okay, so then I guess that fares to ask the question, if Mark Jackson stayed, does the Warriors' championship run still happen the way that it did?
Oh, that's a really tough question because, I don't know, it's crazy because Steve Kerr gets hired as the coach and he immediately wins the finals.
Right.
Granted, that team come in, you know, like they already were a playoff team. Like they just couldn't get past like the Clippers with Lob City. They couldn't get past the Spurs. Like, They'd run into a team that was just, you know, it just wasn't their time yet. They run into a team that was just better at that moment.
Right.
But then you saw like, you know, you saw Steph become a superstar.
Yeah.
And then he has that MVP year. Yep. The first year Steve Kerr's there. Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question though, because the pieces were all there. The roster construction was like pretty much the same.
So was there any sort of different, because I don't know this because I didn't watch the Warriors like that between the eras of Mark Jackson and the Steve Kerr, but did it seem like the defensive philosophy changed or any sort of the offense philosophy? Like, were they running different sets? Was it different types of defenses? Because I would think like just because Steve Kerr seems like he'd be a particular type of coach where Mark Jackson, a particular type of coach where Steve Kerr seems like he would want like, I guess in my head, Steve Kerr wants like motion all the time, where Mark Jackson would be like, let's run like stagnant triangle, get it to the big man, out to the shooter. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if that's true or not.
I would say the offensive philosophy changed the most overall. And I think, I mean, back quickly to the point of would Mark Jackson have won a championship with this roster? I think the answer is easily no, because there's a reason why he got let go and they brought in someone else. Like there was a change that they saw needed to happen to unlock this next level for the team. And I think with Kerr, I think he absolutely did that.
Yeah. Kerr was able to get them over the hump that Mark Jackson would keep stopping at. And that's not to say Mark Jackson was a bad coach. Like, I feel like he could probably coach an NBA team right now. Like, he should probably have a job, but he doesn't. But anyways,
I do miss him on the live broadcast, though.
Yeah, I do miss him and Van Gundy together.
I know. Who's Van Gundy assisting with?
The Clippers.
Is it New York? Oh, with the Clippers?
Yeah.
Okay. Damn. I do miss Van Gundy and Mark Jackson. There's people that will not know that duo. That's insane to me. That's what makes me feel like we're starting to get old, where it's like, you know, like there's like our dads or parents or whoever that watched sports that had the old guys. Like, I didn't grow up like with football. I didn't get to experience Madden like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh man.
Uh-oh.
There he is. Ladies and gentlemen, joining the stream. It's our boy Brock, aka B Nasty. How you doing, my boy?
AKA Dad in the minivan about to drop some fucking heat.
Woo!
Let's hear
Brock,
it.
You're coming in. You're coming in at a great time right now. We're discussing if Mark Jackson would have stayed the coach of the Warriors when Steve Kerr came in, would they still have won a championship?
Yeah, hands down, man down. I feel like would Steve Kerr have won a championship without Mark Jackson handing him a team?
Okay. We have some different. We've got some different takes. Roman is saying Mark Jackson was let go for a reason, and Steve Kerr obviously got them over the hump, and that's kind of what needed to happen. Casey kind of feels about the same. I think I lean towards the side of the pieces were put together. You know, I just don't know like how much of the offense or defensive philosophy changed. But Roman and Casey are saying that it did step up a little bit offensively. So I don't know, but you make a great point, man.
So are we saying that Mark Jackson would have never thought to unleash Stephen Clay? Is that what we're saying?
Maybe he never could have conceptualized the system to do that for them the same way that Kerr set it up for them. Not to like discount his ability, Mark Jackson's abilities, but I think Kerr just took a different approach to how to utilize them. So I think that's a major difference. And again, I don't want to discount Mark Jackson's ability to coach.
Yeah, and I think Kerr got more productivity out of the second unit too. That I think they lacked before. Like, I think when Mark Jackson was there, it was very reliant on like how good can Steph be, how good can Clay be, and they were still trying to figure it out too as like young players.
I mean, do you think there's another coach that would have given Draymond the minutes that Mark Jackson granted him in order to be able to become the player that he did? I don't know. These are good questions.
That's a big what if.
Yeah.
Draymond's so unique because he was the most outstanding player, won the title, and was drafted in the second round, right?
From Michigan State? Yes, I believe so.
Yeah. So he was like, he had all the accolades, but none of the skill. And I feel like Mark Jackson saw him.
Yeah.
That's me. But then Steve Kerr was like, we're going to make you Dennis Rodman. I know Dennis Rodman. So you're right. If you did combine Steve Kerr and Mark Jackson, that's what I would like.
That would have been crazy.
Right? Right?
You'd probably see consistent lineups.
Is that why everyone hates Steve Kerr now? He just keeps switching. He doesn't know what to do.
Yeah. Bro.
Yeah.
Whenever, like during some down years, like last year or like the years, you know, like whenever they're not like in the mix, that's kind of what people will go to. That is the go-to, like, Steve Kerr trash talk.
Yeah, it's, yeah. Oh, why didn't so-and-so get more minutes, or why did you start this guy over him?
Yeah. Why is it every time that I see Steve Kerr pop up, like, on TV, he's just sitting there, arms crossed, just like... Like, he's starting to develop, like, the Darvin Ham look.
Not
the hands in the pockets, but just, like, the...
Just the spectator.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I've noticed it a lot too.
I like to think that there's something going on between the ears when he's doing that.
The lights are on, but nobody's home.
he's analyzing.
It's just the magic eight ball in his head that he's rotating. He's like, who am I gonna start tomorrow?
More pods minutes.
Yeah. How do I bench Kuminga a fourth time this game?
How do I give Anthony Lamb more minutes?
Can I get Anthony Lamb on the roster right now?
Yo, Brock, how you been feeling about the NBA lately, man? We haven't seen you in a while. Give us some of your Brock knowledge, man.
Bro. Are the Cavs the favorite?
Yeah, I think they gotta be.
I know, like, they're undefeated. Are they still? They might still
they're
be.
Still, they're still undefeated. 13-0.
And nobody believes it. Like, if Boston was 13-0, we'd be like, wrap it up. The Cavs haven't lost, and everyone's like, I don't see it.
I think I got Cleveland winning a series against Boston.
Oh, I would love it. I'd love every second of it. Every second of it.
So last
right now.
That's what happened.
What happened? What'd you say?
I said they were hurt last year in the playoffs.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. They were made. I don't think Jared Allen even played.
No, all of them were hurt.
Yeah. No, I know. I know Garland was dealing with injuries, and yeah, same with Mitchell. But I think Mitchell was fighting through injuries at least.
We sat like the last two Celtics, and they were just like, "Yeah, we'll be back next year." Anyways, I don't know. The Garland Mitchell JB Bickerstaff connection, the same thing. I feel like this is like the Lakers' issue. Like, once you get the coach that can like work the lineup, that's it. Like, JJ is the coach, but he doesn't have the lineup. Yeah. It's not the correct pieces. So like, this is like a throwaway year. And then they're like, all right, let's try this again.
And so if they would get the pieces, LeBron's, I firmly believe that next year is LeBron's last year. LeBron's goodbye farewell tour is the championship year.
Yeah,
that would be the craziest storyline ever. Year 23 for number 23.
Woo! Drop that.
Gets the chip. Whoa. Goes out.
His what?
That would be his fifth.
And what's 2 + 3?
5.
That's right. Let's bring it home.
Wow.
Now, what's a crazier storyline? That or drafting? Drafting.
Well, Bryce some, James.
Players. Ooh.
No, yeah, I can't see another. I can't. We can't do it. Yeah. We haven't even gotten into talking about Bronny not playing G League.
We don't have to talk about it.
What the fuck is that?
Bro,
I'm gonna rip you out of college for these like four games. You're not gonna score, but like it's gonna be good.
It's gonna be cool for me.
Listen, I want the Disney ending. I don't care about you.
That's crazy.
Yeah, why is Bronny not playing road games? That's my question. Why just home games? What's the point?
I have no idea. I think it's because he's traveling. I think he travels with the main team but plays home with the G League. And I've never seen something like that. I don't follow the G League like that, so I don't know what rules and stipulations there are as far as that goes. But I tried to discredit the nepotism as hard as I could. Now
it's
you just
harder
now,
and harder now, to
now,
do it.
You yeah. can't, you can't, yeah. Now it's just like it is what it is. Like we can't defend it. So
at this point, we're crossing into like parenting choices. Like now yeah. His NCAA, I guess it doesn't matter. Like he has billions of dollars, but
what about weird. Like a college education?
That's what I'm saying. College or like experience. Just growing up to like be a man in college, and he's just like And now he's not even playing basketball. It's insane, dude. It's
yeah. Insane. I mean, he didn't really get the college experience. I mean, so that's I know, true. Like, I have a friend of mine lives in LeBron's neighborhood. And, like, I won't say where it's at. Ooh. But I know where he lives. The time that it takes. I'll say it right here. I know LeBron James's address. But I've never been in LeBron's house. But I've been outside of it. But. You,
with his binoculars.
Yes, just we're Savannah, Bronny, Rice.
The NBA media credentials, it's still pending.
Oh, man, we got to throw this one away. No, but I was going to say the time that it takes to get from where they live to USC at any given time is probably 40 minutes. It's not that far. It's maybe like 15, 16 miles. So I'm pretty sure he stayed at home. And you can't, yeah. As Bronny James, you can't go out and have a life. You know what I mean? Like,
not a normal one.
Yeah. So, not only did he not get a college experience, he's not getting an NBA experience. So,
he's not getting a life experience.
He's not getting a G League experience either.
Yeah. So, I don't know what's going on. But yes, the Lakers have the coach. The Lakers have the coach, but we do not have the right pieces. I completely agree, Brock. Then, lastly, before we go, I don't think we've been on here for 35. I kind of want to get it I kind of want to wrap it up here, but I do have a question that I was pondering today that I wanted to ask you guys. It's something we haven't really done yet, and we need to make it a segment, but it's who you got in a fight. Okay. This is, I really had to think about this. We're going to go Scott the Extender Foster versus Tony the Sauce Brothers.
Oh, man.
Ooh.
Are you taking the Sauce or you taking the Extender? It's not a fight to the death. It's just like a street fight. Somebody's getting their ass beat.
I'm going to do some quick research.
Oh, man.
I'm going to say Tony Brothers all day.
You're going to go TB all day?
Yeah, because everybody hates Scott Foster, so he'll feel the crowd hating him. And it's very Jake Paul, Mike Tyson tonight.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch
it.
Oh,
man. Yeah, I'd have to go Brothers, too.
Going to go Tony Brothers?
Yeah.
TB.
I'll be different. I'll say Scott Foster.
Oh. What?
I'm siding with Casey in my head. It's a tough one, but Scott just, I think he's just more of a psychopath.
He's also 3 years younger. If that
Ooh,
counts for anything.
That's that. Yeah.
Interesting.
That is...
Give me that Tony Brothers dad strength. I need it.
This is true.
Yeah. I'm not going to, I don't know. Like I appreciate the Scott Foster, Chris Paul beef and weird record that he has against him, but I don't know. I can't.
So crazy.
It's something I don't want to like side with myself. I can't.
Scott Foster has a allegations of sports betting section on his Wikipedia page.
Oh, nice.
I love it.
This is very Matt Barnes, Derek Fisher esque.
Oh,
it.
Boy.
Oh, I love it.
I mean, oh, when you're looking at LeBron's house, is Mark Jackson in there hitting it out of the park?
With all due respect,
that's probably why he's better than Steve Kerr. That's the only reason.
And I hit it out the park with all due respect.
That is the craziest thing on national TV.
Mark Jackson, like, he just lost it. He lost his mind for a second.
All the filters just flew out of his head really quick.
He forgot he was on the clock.
did he think he was on mute? Is like my next thought there. I'm like,
I have no idea. But we, Brock, we were actually talking earlier about like how crazy is it that there is a generation that is below us that will never know what the beauty of Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy was as announcers.
Oh my God, that's a wonderful point. They're my favorite. Like
100%, 100%. There was. Nothing's better than that two combo with Mike Breen actually talking about the game.
Oh, yeah. The only person focusing on the game and the other two just having a sidebar the entire time.
Yeah.
Every whistle you hear Van Gundy going a rant about the officiating.
They go on a 5-minute spiel and then Mike Breen with, and Curry with the three.
And that will end the quarter.
Yeah, the officiating absolutely awful.
Jeff Van Gundy will be like, Steph Curry just threw his mouthpiece. I had a mouthpiece back in '84. We used it with Patrick Ewing. You're like, what the? Where are you going with this? While that's happening, Mark Jackson is just scanning the crowd for baddies, lands on Savannah James, and Matt.
Yeah.
All due respect.
With all due respect.
Got eyes directly on the
fan. In 84, when I had the mouthpiece, it was actually made of plastic back then. It was insane. You can't even do that these days. And Curry with the three. Bang!
I think Mike Breen's the only one in the Hall of Fame, so it makes sense. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, right before the timeouts, you'd always have, like, I think it was something along the lines of, like, with an attention to detail and a love for the game, this man's always driving to the basket and making everybody look around him like, mama, there goes that man.
He'd always have some bars, like, right before, like, the commercial break or the timeout.
It would be crazy.
Oh, yeah.
He'll be playing the music with, like, the slow-mo highlights.
100%.
So good. So good.
Master
of the craft.
It was art.
I appreciated that he always went back and did the Warriors game, like, during their, like, run.
Yeah,
like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah,
he could have just been like, "Nah, I'm out. I'm not. This is like hard for me." And he was just like, "Nah, I love these people." They'd always go up and hug him, and I don't know. I feel like they know Mark Jackson built it, and Steve Kerr was like, I got it, dude. I got it. Do you remember the debate was, should he go to the Knicks or the Warriors?
Oh, Steve that Kerr?
Yeah, because Phil Jackson was in the Knicks.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, yeah, that's a good fit. Yeah, yeah. He'll bring the Knicks. Dude, that would have been the worst decision ever.
He would have been fired, I feel like. Steve Kerr? I think he would have been fired already, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Because that team was just not ready.
That's when he hired Derek Fisher, who was having sex with Matt Barnes' wife, and then he drove him to fight him. Like,
it was insane. It was 90 miles?
Yeah! 90 miles.
That's crazy.
Chief and OG Kush, like, I'm going to go whip his ass right now. And I think that dude would have beat Derek Fisher's ass down pretty handedly. Sorry, D Fish. Loved you with the Warriors and Lakers. Shout out Bay LA podcast.
That's right, true. Baby. All right, guys, let's go ahead and wrap this thing up, bro. This is crazy. Also, side note too, right before we wrap it up, the starters just got announced for tonight's game for the Lakers and the Spurs. Like I projected, Dalton Knecht is going to be subbing in tonight for Rui Hachimura. He did get the starting lineup assignment, and San Antonio is going to be starting with Harrison Barnes, Victor Wembanyama, Stephen Castle, Chris Paul, and Sam Penny.
So, ooh, Castle with the start. Interesting.
Castle with the start. It's going to be a good game.
2015 champion Harrison Barnes.
That's right. The Warriors' old friend.
The Black Falcon.
Is that what his nickname was?
Right. That's his nickname. Yeah.
That's fucking crazy. The Black Falcon. That's what? What?
Yeah.
Who the fuck ever called him the Black Falcon? I've never heard this. That's amazing.
There's a whole article about it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to research.
Yeah, please do. I'm not crazy.
All right, guys. Right. Well, hey, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Bay LA Podcast. We're going to wrap it up there. I'm Austin with Brock, officially, Roman, and Casey. We'll catch you guys to the next one. Go Lakers, go Warriors.
More Moody
Mins. More Moody Mins.